Scotty Bornalon joining us now on the Whole Hog Reaction Show. And Scotty was one of the few, the lucky ones, that got to go inside the stadium today. Scotty, first question is, I mean, it's a different environment, only, 16,500 fans there. What was it like?
Yeah, it was strange, man. Like, you could hear fans yelling from the upper deck at the officials, telling them how bad of a job they were doing. Like, it was kind of one of those type environments. And I remember, right toward the end of the first half, when Arkansas is trying to set up, they get into field goal range, right? And so they're going out to kick the 54-yard field goal, and Arkansas gets flagged for delay of game. Sam Pittman's frustrated, and he like clapped his hands and, kind of threw his right arm up in the air. And Matt told me after the game that Matt was sitting in the upper deck on the same side as the press box. And he said that it was like so quiet in that moment that he could hear Sam Pittman's hands clapping together. Like that's just, it kind of gives you an idea of the volume level at the game. And like, you could hear the pumped in noise, like, they were trying to really pump it in like during third downs and fourth downs and stuff. But when Georgia would convert, that pumped in crowd noise was playing like a few seconds after the play was over. It was kind of eerie, but give it to the fans. They showed up. The ones that were there, they were loud when Arkansas was playing well.
I mean, Arkansas, they showed promise without a doubt. Big showing from the defense, especially in the first half. What did you see from the Barry Odom-led defense?
Yeah, so they had a really good plan going in. And I think, if Arkansas was a team that had more depth, you might be able to see that defense continue to play at a level that it was in the first half. I liked the effort from Grant Morgan and Bumper Poole and Jalen Catalan was outstanding. I think Bumper kind of set the tone early with that big hit on DeJuan Mathis, and that kind of put the idea in DeJuan Mathis's head is like, hey, man, I got to have my head on a swivel. And so I think that kind of affected his field awareness, at least on one. I think on the next third down scramble that he had, he came up a yard short. I think Arkansas got to him a little bit, not just the pressure from maybe the front seven, made him get out of the pocket a little bit. And then maybe he was in his own head a little bit too much. I didn't come away too impressed with Mathis, but Grant Morgan and Bumper Poole had a lot to do with it. And Grant Morgan had a career high 13 tackles, and Bumper, I think, was in double digits too. Like the effort from those guys, but they can't be on the field every play. Like they got worn down. And that kind of goes back to the offense only had, I think they had 8 3-and-outs today, and they had 4 drives of 2 minutes or more. That's it. And they scored on 2 of those drives. Yeah. Like, the defense was on the field a lot. They got gassed, and you kind of saw a pretty worn out defense in the second half, I think.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Some of those crazy statistics from the offense that just couldn't stay on the field today. But you mentioned DeJuan Mathis, but it was Stetson Bennett that came in to close the second quarter and then played the rest of the game until the end when it was out of hand for Georgia. He showed a lot of promise for the Bulldogs.
Yeah, he did. I think he's like a 5'10 former walk-on, and he kind of had, I think, his jitters when he first got into the game, but he figured it out. Like, he used his playmakers. Like, George Pickens is a great playmaker. His running backs, I think they kind of got the running game established a little bit. They just kind of took what Arkansas gave them defensively, and that score right before halftime, I think Arkansas was kind of in a prevent type defense, trying not to give up the big play, and they just kind of gashed Arkansas for a big score. I think a field goal right before the half. Stetson Bennett just kind of came in and changed the game. Like, he was pretty efficient too. I think he threw for 211 yards and a couple of touchdowns, I think both in the third quarter. When they, I think it was a 22-point third quarter for Georgia. That really put the game away. Stetson Bennett was really good. I think they got a quarterback problem at Georgia. Like, do you go back to Mathis and just be like, hey, these are the growing pains that maybe a young guy's going through, or Stetson Bennett could have just earned himself a starting job. Who knows?
Yeah, the schedule doesn't get any easier for them and the Georgia Bulldogs. I believe they have to go play, is it Auburn next?
Yeah, they got a tough slate coming up for sure.
But, I mean, everybody has that tough slate now this year, right? Yeah. Playing all sure. 10 SEC games. Arkansas's next game, we're going to get to that too. That's not going to be very easy either. But on the other side of the ball, Felipe Franks, man, he showed flashes of a quarterback that Arkansas has missed really since Austin Allen has left. But he also showed a few flashes of maybe forcing the ball a little too much with two interceptions. What did you see from Franks, kind of the positives and the negatives from him in this game against Georgia?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I was looking, I think, at the stat broadcast at one point. He was like 4 of 13 for like 90 yards and a touchdown and a pick. Like, it was kind of one of those days where the big plays were kind of few and far between. But for a little while, as well as Arkansas's defense was playing, like, it was enough. Like, he found Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks had a career day. I think he had 7 grabs for 102 yards and a touchdown. He looked really good. Like, there were some moments, like, especially the touchdown pass to Burks. He gave Burks enough space on the sideline. Like, he didn't put it too far. Like, he didn't put it too far near the sideline where Burks didn't have a chance to cut up field post catch and get into the end zone. I like that play. And then when he directed Burks back after Burks ran a go and he kind of came back and they connected for like a 20-yard pass. Those are plays that Arkansas has not had. They haven't had a quarterback that can make those kinds of plays in years. And so those are like the positives that I think you take away from it. I like to see him get Trey Knox more involved. Like, he was just not there today in the passing game. I think he had 1 catch for like 3 yards in the red zone and wasn't really a factor. But yeah, Frank's, like, I think his second pick, I don't know that we can necessarily put that on him. I think Arkansas was like trying to run a rub like on the perimeter. And I think he was trying to lead Mike Woods, but Mike kind of got caught up in that traffic and just threw the ball straight to the Georgia DB. But the positives to take away, I think he's got a good chance to look a lot better against Mississippi State, you know, when he's not playing possibly the best defense in the country.
Yeah, for sure. It drove me crazy. Scotty, you're at the game, so you're not listening to the broadcast, but the broadcast guys on Franks' second INT were faulting him a little bit, but also faulting Woods because they were talking about him just stopping on the route. And I was like, are you not watching the game? Woods, I believe that was Kern, that the tight end that they're trying to rub that rug route with. And I mean, they just hit each other.
Right.
It's, unfortunate timing for sure. But we're going back and looking at this game. There's going to be some stuff to build on for sure, but Franks is definitely the quarterback that Arkansas has missed these past few years. Arkansas, you mentioned it earlier, they had 11 drives of 3 plays or less. They had 8 3 and outs. Add that to the 3 turnovers. Why couldn't the Arkansas offense get anything going against Georgia?
I think Georgia's defensive front is just like, they're just a bunch of like extraterrestrials on that front line, and then at linebacker, like, those guys are just all over the place. And I think you saw a little bit of inexperience with Arkansas's line. Like, you're starting 2 redshirt freshmen, and then you feel pretty good about Noah Gatlin at right tackle, but remember that dude, he didn't play at all last year because of an injury. So he's kind of working through some rust. And no offense to Arkansas's defensive linemen or their defensive ends, but Georgia's defensive ends and defensive tackles are on a completely different level than,
for sure,
not just Arkansas, but like most teams across the country. So that's just, you're getting thrown into the fire while you're trying to shake off rust. Like, couldn't get the running game going. Felipe Franks didn't have just a ton of time to pass either. And so I think, you know, you go into Mississippi State thinking that, you know, they don't have the freaks up front, and maybe we can give our quarterback some time and then maybe open up some lanes in the running game. Maybe you'll be able to get Rakeem Boyd going a little bit more next week. He was pretty non-existent today just because Georgia's front 7 is just freakishly good.
Yeah, Matt Jones, who's also in the game, as you said, sitting in the upper deck, he said even from up there, you could tell the difference between the fact of just the size of Georgia and the size of Arkansas and how they just look –
from way far away. Like, still, they're still giants from way far away.
And I mean, that's why Georgia's ranked in the top 5 and Arkansas hasn't won a conference game in 20 games now. That's just kind of what you're going to have to expect and the things that you're going to have to overcome. You think you got a better shot coming up next week here, Scotty, as we kind of wrap it up here on the instant reaction part of the Whole Hog Reaction Show. You think you got a better shot against Mississippi State? They've kind of lost some of their defensive linemen that have been so dominant over the past few years. And Mike Leach's teams have, well, they've never really been known for playing good defense anyway. But at the same time, one of the, I don't know, I guess, benefits of having to stay home for these games is that I just moved the kitchen table right into the living room, turned on the TV, had my two screens in front of me for the Arkansas game. But then I turned the TV on that Mississippi State LSU game, and Mississippi State was causing some havoc on that front five with LSU. So it'll be interesting to see if Arkansas's young offensive line can hold their own in that game. And that's it, you know, kind of moving forward. What do you think might be some keys for Arkansas? This is early, obviously, and you haven't gotten a whole lot of time to really digest this game, but what might be some keys for Arkansas playing against Mississippi State next week?
Don't allow 600 yards passing.
Yeah, golly.
That'd be a pretty good place to start. Like, you could, and I understand that LSU was missing Derek Stingley. He's arguably, he might be the best defensive back in all of college football. But still, you'd think that LSU's DBs are good enough to not give up 600 yards passing. Like, it just, that was like the most surprising thing today, other than Texas giving up like 50 points to Texas Tech and winning in overtime.
Yeah, and still winning.
Yeah, it was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I guess it didn't take as long for Mike Leach to get what he wanted in at Mississippi State. Like, we kind of talked in the preseason about that might be a game week two where, you know, Mississippi State might still be figuring some things out. It looks like they're there already.
Yeah.
And you know, you go into Baton Rouge, and I understand it's not like playing in Baton Rouge in a perfect world, but that's still impressive. Like, you don't just go in there and beat LSU at home. And Mississippi State's quarterback threw for the most yards as it's ever been thrown for in Tiger Stadium. That's crazy. Like, Arkansas is going to have its hands full. And I'm going to be eager to learn a little bit more about Mississippi State's skill players. I didn't know they were like that.
Yeah.
End of this year.
Costello, I believe, is his name, the Mississippi State quarterback. And you mentioned he's thrown for the most yards in Tiger Stadium history. He's thrown for the most yards just period in the SEC. 600, nobody has thrown for 600 yards ever. So that's – yeah, it puts him in pretty elite company himself. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens as Arkansas is going to travel to Starkville. There's going to be limited attendance there at Starkville, Mississippi, but I'm sure the fans and their cowbells will be as loud as ever. Well, Scotty, thanks so much for joining us here on the instant reaction portion of the Whole Hog Podcast, or not Whole Hog Podcast, Whole Hog Reaction Show.
Yeah, man. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.